This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective, here on 89.0 Free FM, independent community media. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Yes, I can hardly see you, Mick. Yeah.
Are you
going to
be all right?
Oh, no. It's the visual, not the vocal.
Oh, okay.
I can see the top of your head. Sorry. Because in the studio this morning, we have Brian from the North.
Yeah. Good morning, guys.
Yes, good morning, Brian.
Not Norm of the North, Brian from the North.
Brian from the North.
Is Norm of the North still going?
Or
is
I don't know.
Has he left this world?
I suspect he has. I think when I had my car repaired, what was that, about 40 years ago, his name was mentioned and he was, I think, was in the almost in the twilight of his career.
Yeah, he was in the twilight about 40 years ago. His heyday.
He was world famous in Northland.
He was
famous in Northland.
Like Tim Shadbolt, especially in the in Southland.
Well, he used to work for the Wagner Museum driving their bullock team.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't really like him, but he was the only one that would drive the bullock team when he was too loud because he was yabbering all the time, you know, and yelling and telling his jokes and carrying on. And
yeah,
the poor cattle didn't really like it. They liked someone quiet.
So was he famous or was he infamous?
He was on the radio a lot.
Yeah.
He was on the radio from his cow shed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Radio Northland.
Northland.
Yeah, it was known here, or 1ZN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian from the North. What's happening in the North? Brian, give us a...
Been a quiet winter.
Tourist-wise?
Tourist-wise. We live near Pai here, so it's... They've been doing it tough there.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've been doing tough all over New Zealand, but
you know,
you can walk down the streets on a Saturday morning and fire a shot, and you're not going to hit many people.
And what, due to just the economy, you think, or competition from other holiday places, a bit of both?
Well, winter time, it's always the snow takes people away. You know, Paihi is really a summer. A summer place is its heyday, and they go up and game fishing and go out to the hole in the rock and go to visit Russell. And
And I suppose if you look at it, if you've got money, would you go to Paihi, which you may or may not get nice weather in the winter time, would you hop on a plane and go to either Rarotonga or up to the Gold Coast?
It's probably cheaper to go to Australia for the weekend
than
come to Paihi for the weekend, nearly from Auckland.
How's Kaikoura and what I call the real North, how are they getting on?
I think they're struggling really hard too.
Okay. Yeah.
The farmers might be doing all right with the dairy farmers might be doing all right, but I don't know how much the filter feeder is going into the economy.
Yeah. So the jail's full, I suppose, is it?
Oh, the jail's the busiest place in town.
At Nafa.
And employs a few people too, so.
Okay.
It's a few jobs.
We have this running kind of commentary on gang patches in Kaikoura. Has that cropped up?
I'm in Moorewa for work, which is, you know, great during the daytime, but you make sure you get home before dark.
Yeah, so there's still a gang presence in Moorewa?
Oh, I think there's about five or six gangs in Moorewa.
Were patches in the daytime?
But they're all friends because they all went to school before they were in the gangs. They were all at school together, so even though they're killer bees and the mongrel mob or whatever, they actually still get on in Moorewa. They seem to get on quite well. Because they say they've known each other since they were
some of them
this high.
Of
course they're all related anyway. Everybody in Maori was related to everybody else.
Yeah, okay.
So
you actually, when you're in the North, when you're out and about, do you see people during the day wearing gang patches? That's what we want to know. What do you think of?
Not very much.
So the law may be working better than it was.
It could be better than it was.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you'd probably like to know what it was pre-gang patch legislation.
Yeah, because when I was up north, when I was a teenager, you know, when there was gang, everyone had gang patches. There was a big, awful brawl in Morawa.
Yeah, oh, yeah. About 76,
yeah. Yeah, fruit cops got, didn't get killed, but they got badly hurt.
Their van got... I'm set on fire. I think wasn't that outside the pub?
The pub.
Yeah.
Well, the pub now is a church.
that's what you call it. Is that evolution? Is that a good thing?
That's evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on what sort of church it is.
They've turned beer into water now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they call it devolution, don't they?
Devolution.
Yeah. So, and what our population in the north, how was the voting? Did you retain your Maori wards and all that?
Yeah, we kept our Maori wards. Yeah, mind you, big Maori population in New Zealand, but of course you still had to fill in your voting form, and we had a very low voting return.
Sorry, my phone. Fred's just having trouble ping. Turning it off.
Fred's gone ping.
Fred's gone ping on the phone.
You need to extract yourself from the video.
He's got to learn how to turn his phone off.
I think he needs to get some milk plates.
So they retained the Maori wards in the far north.
And we retained our mayor.
Yeah. What about Whangarei? What happened there?
I'm not sure, to tell the truth.
Yeah, because when I look at the preliminary results for Whangarei, they gave the Maori wards the old heave-ho based on those numbers.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me that Whangarei would get rid of it.
Yeah, because we in the city retained our Maori wards.
Yeah.
But, however, in environs, like your Matamata Piako, Thames, Coromandel, wherever else...
They lost them.
Yeah. And I had this kind of comment to make, oh, well, they must have... there's a connection between land confiscation and no Maori wards.
That could be part of it,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, there was no Maori wards that retained in the Taranaki, the Hawke's Bay, Western Bay of Plenty.
Well, I remember the last election, they did a little... blitz on Mariwa, and they interviewed five people and they asked them what party they were affiliated with or whatever, and then they asked them, are you enrolled? And four out of the five weren't even enrolled. So how, if you don't vote, how can you have a say when only, even in a general election, what percentage vote in a general election?
Well, we had the same problem here. I think we had a potential of 115,000 voters.
Eligible voters.
Potential, and then a lot of those, it was only a percentage of that registered, and then only a percentage of that voted.
Yeah,
so you're down to about 31.9%.
31%.
So one in three voted.
So what about the far north? What was it?
I think it was pretty horrible too.
Yeah, because we know that Auckland was diabolical.
You kept your Maori wards. Did the support for the Maori wards go down, or did it stay where?
I don't know, but we kept them, which was amazing.
Yeah, it's good you kept them. I just wanted the support had wavered or, you know. That did here, I think we had about, was it a 3,000?
The majority, the fours were about 3,000, as opposed to those who wanted them heave-ho, So the turnouts seem to be reflected the same here as what they were up there, unfortunately. We're talking about local body elections, Fred.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see we got up to 33%, was that right? Well, I saw an article today, and it said 33, but I still thought it was only
31.9, yeah. Because the council was sworn this week.
I was hoping
it would correlate with the pro-industrial action.
Yeah, I saw that. And they had it in the beheaded outside in Garden Place.
Mm.
And the mayor was wearing a very unusual, colourful cloak. Not a cloak, robe. It was more like a...
robes.
A ball dress.
Yeah.
It was red and black and had a Māori design on it.
But did you say his name was Joseph, did you?
Well, I'm not sure. It was sort of a bit like that. Yeah, it wasn't. I sort of thought, oh, yeah, okay. But, yeah, must be a new... I don't know how long it's been in use, but...
Moth-eaten, whatever.
Moth-eaten.
But, okay, and he said we did it in the open because he wants to be a transparent council. Good luck to that.
But, he needs to be transparent.
Yeah.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, and Jamie Strange...
Without the oxy.
And they all had little speeches, of course, the new ones, I think. I don't know if they all even
did you go to it, Fred?
No. But I did read the report.
No, I walked.
Doing it. Yeah, well, that's fine. Yeah, and... But I did see, my first criticism of the mayor, when he had his speech, he talked about ratepayers, not citizens. He was going to do, things for, so the ratepayers would get value for money. Which I know what he means, but he could have used the word citizens.
Well, he wants to be inclusive.
Yeah. But if you're paying rent, you mightn't own the land, but you are still paying the rates.
You're paying the landlord's rate. The landlord makes the profit out of it.
Yeah, not you.
You're paying the rates. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that seems to go adrift, not just in Hamilton.
No, I think that's a nationwide.
How many people in Hamilton, if you know, are renters compared with homeowners?
It's 43%.
I think it's quite, the renters are quite high in the city.
Renters.
43% are renters.
The population.
Are renters.
Yeah. The numbers between, the rate payers should be up here, it'd be quite high, but the gaps come close, yeah.
Yeah.
And the number of renters will go up.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a trend in Europe for years. There was more renters than there were property owners.
Yeah, it's a worldwide
phenomenon.
It's
a worldwide trend.
People losing homeowners, so.
Mm. And are you sort of getting a lot of... I know you used to got a hang of a lot of new houses, and even since I was in here last.
Yeah, there's a lot of infilling.
Infilling.
Yeah.
But are they families that are moving into the houses, or are they four people sharing a flat?
Well, that's up to debate, isn't it, really? Because we have, where I live, we've had a, what we call a 4x4, built two-storey. And the people who live there look to me either single or probably a couple sharing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got new neighbours, and they're obviously new migrant New Zealanders, and but I noticed they've got borders, which is not particularly wrong, because if you go back to New Zealand's early European history, there's lots of single men came out here for opportunity and everything else, and they boarded, often with spinsters or whatever in a house. So it was quite common for someone to own the house and live there, and the way they made their money was they had boarders in. They're not doing anything unusual, but I think there's a lot of people, a lot of multi-use for a lot of residential houses now.
Rather than filling, I think the best example of it that I've locally to where I live is Killarney Road, in between Greenwood Street and the roundabout at Fotofot, the Dinsdale Shops, A lot of infilling through there. But there are other places as well.
But there all seem to be three or four bedroom houses that are being built everywhere, but the average person is one person
in their house.
So how do you cope with that?
That's an interesting comment, observation, Brian, because Kainaora is also focusing on the three, or the four, and not so much focus on the one.
On the one.
Which they should be focusing on.
Because
just about everyone ends up, even if you're in a relationship or whatever, one of you will end up on your own, won't you? So unless you're both, like Jim Bowles, you're both for it, but the rest, there'll be single, there's a huge need for single unit accommodation.
Amongst the elderly as well.
Amongst the elderly.
But even in the young too. Because not everybody gets on with everybody else.
No.
So you need your own space with your own little tiny kitchen.
Our government, our housing minister, thinks that families should do more to accommodate family members. Ignoring the fact that some families are dysfunctional, all sorts of things are going on, and it doesn't work out. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
No, it doesn't.
It's just a throwaway, let families deal with this. Yeah. We shouldn't have to
work. Yeah, but I have seen some developments in Hamilton where they have got single units for one person, elderly people, and that's sort of what we need far more of.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a known trend that we're going to get more old people as we get the ageing bubble comes through.
But we need more single accommodation.
That's what I mean.
In a community. Where you've got a common area where you can meet with your neighbours.
And have a beer.
But it needs to be a mixed community. Yes. So it suddenly isn't 1,000 old people in one suburb and nobody else.
No, it needs to be.
In our street where we've moved in there 11 years ago in November, and there were no children in our little side street.
Yeah.
And now there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 out of the 9 houses have got families.
And that's nice for everyone.
And they play ball in the... Yeah. Because it's a little closed off street, they play ball and flow kites and everything in the street and play, and they've got a trampoline on the court. Yeah.
And the kids
all mix too. Mm. So there's Indian, there's New Zealanders, there's Cook Islanders. Well, no, the Samoans, not Cook Islanders. But they all play together.
Mm. Yeah. And
as kids. So when they grow up, they're probably going to be a bit more tolerant about the Cook Islanders or the whatever because...
Well, hello, that was the old...
Well, enhances social cohesion.
Well, that was the old idea of state housing. Peppercorn. So you had the doctor's children would play in with someone from the mill worker's family, etc. And now, of course, we've tended to push everyone on their social economic status where they live. You know, even worse.
Homelessness in the north, Brian, is it a biggie?
Ooh, it's a biggie. There's a lot more little shanties, probably you'd call them, being built on land, people coming back from Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, losing their jobs and everything else.
Mm.
They can't pay rent if you're not earning any money.
Yeah.
So they're going back to family land. You go drive over to Open Only now and there's lots of little...
Semi-shacks,
sort of thing. They're not better than shacks. They are shacks.
Yeah.
You know, the little lean-to built on the side and then another lean-to built on the side as another couple come and...
Yeah.
Wasn't there that story some years ago, and I think it was land that was kind of connected to Dover Samuels where there was that fatal fire. That was a shanty.
Even when I was young,
I
had a girlfriend she just lived basically your bedroom was a corrugated iron water tank on its side with a cover on the side of the house up by where just up there on the hill. Yeah. It was quite normal. There was a lot of people just were added to the sides of houses or makeshift shacks or anything else.
I know those stories. What you're talking about? Very well. You could see them actually if you went inland from where I grew up, places from like Matawaya, Opahee, and those sort of back places into Kaikohe. You see those there. I think you probably still do.
Especially if they've got some Māori land left in the families, etc. Which of course that would have been under pressure too. I imagine there's.
Well, you try to buy a piece of land to put a house on, and even in Northland, there's nothing under $100,000. You can't buy a section for $100,000.
No.
So that puts them out anyway. If they could put it on Māori land, they can put a $50,000 put together out of shipping crates and whatever house for probably $30,000 or $40,000. It's a bit rumpty, but it's a house and they've got a shelter over the head and they're not paying rate. Well, they're probably having to start to paying rates, but they're not having a big insurance on a house like if it was in Auckland.
Mm.
You know, if you've got $1 million house in Auckland, you've got to insure it because if it burns down, you owe the bank $800,000. Burnt down your little shack. If the worst happens and it burns down, well, you've only lost $30,000.
And people would probably come together to not put up a house, but re-put up another
shack. They'll help each other to build.
That made me think when you talked about the expensive house and Luxon's Waiheke Island place and him getting a rates rebate for that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Africa. So yeah. No. Okay. So the north is changing, but it's not changing, so to speak.
I suppose yeah, it's charging ahead, but it's charging backward at the same time.
So it's the tale of two cities?
The tale of two cities.
Yeah. Rich on the east coast and some of the beach places. And
like Kerikeri is like here at Hamilton. It's building flat out houses.
Yeah.
But they're cheaper than Paihia. We're at Wātea, which is just out of Paihia.
Yeah.
And they're about $100,000 cheaper than us. In Kerry now.
Okay, yeah.
Because most of these, that poverty type stuff is probably more like, as you say, the West Coast.
And the Mid-North.
Some of those rural Bay of Islands areas,
Well, a lot of Aucklanders, of course, have sold their places in Auckland. If you're getting over $1 million for your house in Auckland, and you come to Wātea and bought a house for a couple of years ago for $650,000 instead of, and you sold your house for $1 million, you were doing very well because you put $300,000 or $400,000 on term deposit.
Yeah, yeah.
And during those higher interest years, it was good. Mm-hmm. It was just that couple of years ago when it went down to 1%, if you were only allowing on your.
Yeah.
But if you've retired and got your pension and you own your own house and you have $400,000 on term deposit, even at 1%, it still makes $40,000 a year, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice buffer for your pocket.
$4,000. But that still pays your rates.
It pays your rates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's actually no crime for the better off. They can actually spend some of their capital. I know they just about go into a heart attack mode if you mention you can actually spend some of your capital. You know, because it's always been the old Tory thing, you live off your interest and your investments, you don't actually use your capital. But you actually can, because you only live to a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be a hard one to get people to understand that it's okay to. All right, Mick, what do you got?
Yeah, Mick, that's what I think we've got.
We've done the north, thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Yeah.
You stay here and.
You can comment, by all means.
Yeah, well, I came across this article. This is one of my favourite gripes because the article reads, "Silly season now started in spring." This is about shops and supermarkets stocking up with Christmas stuff already. It's just relentless, this consumerism and buy, and replace. I was in the UK years ago and I remember going into, I think it's Selfridges or Harrods one time, and they had Christmas stock in August. It's just relentless. This, you've got to buy this stuff if you love your friend, if you love your family, blah blah. It's just relentless. And I think one year we had Christmas, and then the Boxing Day they had stuff for Easter on the shelves. It's
just keeps going, insane.
Eh? It's relentless. It just really annoys me.
Yeah.
And it's, and unfortunately, a lot of people get sucked into this stuff, and they're usually the ones who can't afford it.
Yeah,
very much so. Yeah,
they're getting involved in those Christmas clubs, and if the Christmas club doesn't go belly up, which I think a few did a few years ago,
yeah, but
they lose that money.
As a former budget advisor, I remember that, you know, your people would come in and they'd be signing up to Christmas clubs where you didn't get to choose what you got at Christmas time.
You just
get a hamper or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be, what are they, Crisco?
Christos. That one went belly up. Yeah.
But you know, and it's safe. There's nothing wrong, and I always suggest to people, go down to your local supermarket and join up to theirs, because
New World have got a good one.
You put your $2 a week, you can choose.
Yeah.
But at least when you're shopping at the end of the year for Christmas,
you get 5% off.
You get a percentage off, but you also can choose. I can get a box of beer, a ham, you know, depending on how much you've got.
Yeah, yeah.
But you actually can choose
what you want.
You get. Whereas Crisco's, you'd get stuff from Poland and everywhere. It was good for their economy, I guess. But you think you get a big volume of stuff. But how much is really what you
want? Well, and how much do you normally eat? You don't normally eat Danish pretzels or whatever.
The
carbon footprint would be big, wouldn't it, for those sort of thing, Crisco's, wouldn't it?
So you're far better to have something at the supermarket that you choose the end result of what you get.
Yeah.
You know?
Or whether you just buy your normal Christmas for your normal shopping plus a couple of extra things for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm glad you do it that
way. You get your 5% off. And I don't think you, I don't know whether you get interest on your money.
I don't think you do.
I don't think you do, but you get the 5% off.
And it'll be a nightmare to, you know, everyone trying to, you know, you'd have to employ how many people to work out the percentages of interest and all that. So
it's all computerised.
Oh, I suppose that's true. Yeah, that's true.
It's just...
But it's still, that's the way to go, then, rather than get an unknown quantity.
But this, this, Carol, just applies more pressure on those who can least afford it.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So if then if you have a bad week, you don't put your $10 into your
You're
Christmas
not committed.
Club.
Yeah.
Mm. Where with Crisco's, it's $9.95 or $19 a week or $25 a week or $40 a week or $100 a week. Mm-hmm. They... And then you'll get a bicycle and a TV and a washing machine and a whatever.
That sounds like those clothing trucks like that.
Oh, the clothing trucks are just absolute... Yeah. They're just...
Well, but also...
The bad news.
They are, but what you got to remember is that often people are in a situation that they need something or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the only choice they got.
Yeah, we know.
And you would have seen that... you know, we've probably all seen it, but Craig, especially in your job, is that, you know, you've got a broken kettle and the truck comes along and has got a kettle for sale that might be $150.
Yeah.
You can't afford the $50 one at the warehouse because you're going to, you can't get it.
So
but
you
can get that on credit.
But they'll give it to you on credit.
By the time
you've paid it on credit, your $150 kettle is $300.
Yeah, so you fall into a trap.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle.
Never-ending debt.
Never-ending debt.
What else have they got there?
Labour's called out for strike gauge inquiry. This was in Wednesday's Herald. Labour has called for investigation into decisions to use public money to create Te Kawa Mata Aho, how you pronounce it, Public Service Commission adverts condemning impending strike action. An estimated 100,000 public service workers across several health and education workforces, including teachers and doctors, will strike, which happened on Thursday.
Yep.
So they're saying that this commission should be independent.
It doesn't sound like it at all.
Yeah. So they're using public money, our taxes, to pay for these adverts condemning what they see as industrial action. And
so tell us about the strike. You participated? Good on you.
Well, I kind of participated because I had something else I had to do, but I joined along for a wee while.
Yeah.
And that was on Thursday. And yeah, from
good numbers?
Yeah. In the paper they described it a few thousand, which was
good numbers.
So I was trying to work out. It was probably maybe
4,000 or 5,000 people.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good number.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
Roughly. And yeah, there's people from firefighters union, preschoolers, teachers, nurses, doctors, all sorts of people.
Yeah,
and it was a good turnout, and it was peaceful, and it was a serious message coming across, but it was also a bit of levity as well, a few jokes amongst the people. It was well organised.
Did they have speeches?
Garden Place. That's where the march. I couldn't get to there, and it got crowded. So,
there would have been crowds for the councillors and mayoral inauguration, I suppose.
Well, that was the day before.
But
a mutual friend of ours who goes down to our rallies on the Saturday, she got down there, and it was good.
Good, yeah. What a pity though about the whole general strike like thing, whether you agree with it or not. They had to cancel the ones in Wellington and Christchurch and all that because of the weather. And of course, the main news, instead of being about the strikes around the country, it did get on the news. But the main news was, of course, the big weather events in Wellington and the South Island. So, it just shows you can all be set up. This will be an impact, and something else takes over the front cover of all the papers.
But I think we need more industrial action, though. This government needs to be...
Well, the trouble is we need to get people to vote.
That's the problem.
The bottom line.
Yeah.
That's been the problem.
If only... 50% of the people are going to vote, then it's the ones that are in power or have got money are the ones that vote. The ones that are renting somebody's little scungy unit, they're not voting.
No. Barry Costanza was during the week was banging on how these trade unions refused to come to the negotiating table.
I think they did, didn't they?
Yeah. And they offered a pittance. Was it
Yeah, 1% or 2% or something. Yeah, but I think the main driver of this is not this, the salary component of it. It's the understaffing, the lack of resources stuff. That's the main concern.
And Mick and I heard, and you guys might have as well, but we heard it, and Brian was, I think, on a news article, and it was the storm, right? And they cancelled, they had the Nelson Hospital was shut down. And they had a spokesman from the teachers union or whatever came in and said, staff went back because actually to keep people alive and it's more important than the strike.
Yeah, that's I heard that one.
That was more worth more publicity than, you can't buy that sort of, what do you call it, soundbite. And it was a lovely one too because it was real. So, good on, that was how you get sympathy for people go, what are they striking about? When they say, actually they didn't strike there because they needed to go and support the hospital. That's good work.
I know that came across amongst all this other nonsense about from the ministers responsible waving their finger. They should be working. There's ethics involved and all this sort of stuff.
There were some good posters too because they had Simeon Brown depicted as a human waste. Since this is a public radio,
chocolate mousse.
It was brown coloured.
Chocolate mousse with a cream on top.
Yeah, that's so that depicted Simeon Brown quite succinctly.
Yeah, he's not very popular.
And I think Stanford's not far behind that too.
She was all scathing and very disdainful about what people were trying to fight for.
Yeah, there's a three of them, isn't there? Yeah. Including but Luxembourg left out.
Oh, Bishop's the other one, isn't he?
It's Roach, the State Services Commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah. Overpaid Pratt. What did he say? We'd done our negotiations and we put this offer on the table and they haven't accepted it and he just went on and on and on. Then he went for a trip back to Australia.
And these are the same individuals who got themselves a nice hefty pay rise through the State Service Commission.
Well, that's what I was about to say, that they got their 8%.
So they should be grateful for that 1%.
But they got 8% on a salary that's quite high.
Yes, already.
You give 1% to someone that's on $30,000, it's $300. It's $300. It's $6 before tax, then they tax it. So it's $2, it's $4. Mm.
And hence my thinking, and I know the union doesn't necessarily think like it, and a lot of people don't, because unfortunately we've also got, when we look at people, what people earn, people don't just off say, I deserve this. They compare what other people earn. And when they're looking for their salaries or whatever, they go, they get paid so much, so I should get so much. Mm-hmm. I like the old days, and it was didn't happen all the time, but where they used to just give a dollar amount, a general wage increase, and it was $10 or $20 or $5.
Yeah.
And wherever you were the doctor at the Tokoroa Hospital or the janitor, you all got $5. And what did it do? Hello? It kept inequality at bay.
Yeah.
Now what you were hinting at, Brian, is you get 5% on $200,000, it's $4,000, and if you're on $30,000, it's $1,200 or something. It's just, and that exasperates inequality, doesn't it?
And then you produce ads, which I saw one on Facebook today, of a worker lying down, a rich person urinating him, and a politician holding the door open for the rich person.
Yeah.
Well, that's the attitude, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the attitude.
But some of that is also caused because the poor don't vote in enough numbers. They're not a big enough
threat. That's the other part of it too. That's part of it.
They're not a threat, so they go, we can do what we like.
Yeah.
I talk to some people and they say they don't vote because the system's broken.
Well,
and I've tried to convince them, it's not going to get repaired
unless you vote.
You've got no chance of getting repaired.
I still maintain that the system isn't broken. It's the people in charge who are screwing the system. The system would work if we had the right people with the right attitude.
And Richard Murphy, we talked about him, he's very good. Economist, he's very good. He was saying exactly that, that the government should be governing for the people, not just the elites.
And the trouble is they've got a vote to get back in next time. So they've only got a 3-year term, so it's not really long enough. Really, you need like a 5-year term where they can actually do something that'll upset people, and in 5 years' time they've forgotten about it and they'll vote for them again. Sure, but in 3 years, it's sort of...
Well, once they get in, they're still looking at the next election.
Straight away.
That's it.
I mean, sometimes I think it would be good if they had a 5-year term, but then you could be like in the UK where they've got a 5-year term and you've got the likes of Keir Starmer.
And the term's far too long.
And then before that, you had Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss and all those other...
Yeah, but everybody only thinks of the 3 years. They never think, what's going to be... What do we need in 20 years?
Long-term vision.
Long-term vision.
Yeah.
So you've got... But they can't do anything to get to that 20-year vision because they've only got that 3-year term. Because if they do it, then they're out next time.
Well, I think they'll get voted out.
This is when you have cross-party agreements.
Well, yeah. And look, the Fairies is a classical one. Yeah. They were going to do something that was 50 to 100 years duration that would service, the South Island's part of New Zealand, that would keep the countries linked. And then what are we doing now? We've chucked that. Cost us how many hundred million dollars?
$300 million to get out of it,
et cetera. Now they're going to take a truck, download it onto a ferry, and then put it back on a truck. So what will end up happening? They won't use the rail as much, and then more trucks will be used, and then, of course, the roads are damaged.
And so on.
And where's the long-term vision of that?
And by the time they finish, this lot would have cost just as much as
the
scheme that they trucked down.
One of our discussion points on this show, Brian, is about infrastructure.
And
this is related to the long-term vision.
Yeah.
We've got rate issues here, rate rises. Why got rate rises? Essential infrastructure has been ignored. So at the national level, this is when you talk about the ferries, that's part of it. It's not all of it's other infrastructure like your electricals. We're seeing that our power grids are declining.
Yeah.
No investment.
Our rail is declining. No investment.
Yeah.
And you can just go on and on and on. And that includes social infrastructure.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah. So it's the long-term, a visionary, and the example that we could use in recent history, and Mick has said it a number of times, is Dove Meyer Robinson for Auckland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we haven't had a real visionary in politics for decades. Probably the closest probably was Norman Kirk.
Maybe Walter Nash before that.
And then there was Savage / Fraser. Those sorts of people. But nobody's going to sort of say we need to work together as a government with the opposition to have this long-term vision for the country, because the country is, as a population is growing, it's ageing, and we need to put these steps in place.
But we
haven't. Coming down, and one of the classic ones we heard the last couple of weeks was aged care and the lack of investment in there.
Oh, we've got an ageing population.
Ageing population.
Us old guys don't know how to turn a phone off, et cetera.
How to take it outside.
We think you might need to get some learner plates.
I might.
L plates.
So that's what it comes down. More people participating, because you talked about Mick, the system is broken according to the people that you've engaged.
It's only broken because of the people in charge at the moment.
But the
system could be revived to work as it used to.
You could also argue a point back to them. It's also broken because of you, your inability not to participate in the voting process to fix that system.
I also think there's an instant gratification problem.
Mm-hmm.
People go, I voted for them last time and nothing happened. Nothing's going to change overnight.
So led to believe it can be fixed.
Yeah, and there's all my life was still shit. Well, those same
people complain about the first government, so they voted another lot in, and then they complain because the other lot didn't have enough time to rectify the mess that the previous government.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they're always blaming the previous government for everything anyway.
2 years into this office, Luxon's still blaming the previous government.
Yeah. Well, he promised everyone a tax cut, and the lady who works for us only works part-time. She got 2 cents tax cut.
Yeah.
I got $2,
I've got five,
and
my wife got
20.
Yeah, so it helped the higher earners.
Yeah, I think I've got about five, something like that.
Yeah. And who doesn't? Let's face it, if you're doing all right, extra money is fine, but you don't really need it. You're still going to go out to tea. You're still going to go on your holidays.
Yeah, of course.
Else. The landlords were still doing fine. If you have a rental, that's spare wealth. That's I'm doing this. It's spare wealth because you live somewhere else. You have a beach house. That's spare wealth. And the argument, I worked hard for my money. Well, did you, or did you have the head start by family wealth or education, which can be family wealth associated?
Yeah, yeah.
Hence the school, the houses in the top schools in Auckland, the houses are worth $2 or $3 million, you know? It's all a bit of a... there's not enough truth discussed about how it all works, in my opinion.
No,
I've harped on about this before. We don't go near the wealth and how it works structure. It's not taught in schools how Benny, who's a farmer's son, has an advantage over such a huge advantage of over someone who's in his parents are unemployed or a low level job.
But people who could do something about it won't do something about it because they've got vested interest in the current system.
Well, there's a lot of wannabes. There's only they say about 10% have most of the wealth in the country, right? Which that's fine, but of course, there's a lot of other people will keep to vote the system we have in place, just in case they get there.
In case they get there, and same with America is exactly.
Oh, Western world.
That's the bait.
Instead of looking and going, this is shit. This is not working, and that, and all it does is probably open the door for fascism and all that, because nothing works. And then someone comes along and says, it's those people with brown skin, or it's those people with slanty eyes. It's those people. They use. Find someone to blame.
Yeah, but there was.
And then
off
it goes, you know?
Yeah.
And hence Trump migrants, hence Nigel Farage in the UK.
Same thing.
There's always someone to blame. And even here, we don't get, so far, we haven't had it lots, but we still get blamed. The poor are far more to blame for why we're in the trouble. You hear it from the government, you know, we haven't got any money, da da da. It was either the Labor government, too much largesse. But who was getting the largesse out of COVID generally?
Whereas
all of this businesses,
the rich types,
which you kept the economy going,
yeah, of course.
But none of them, how many of them said, "Oh, actually, I did all right. I'll give my money back."
I got $20,000 out of the government for doing, to keep my business afloat.
Yeah, did they give it back when they realised they didn't need it?
No,
some did.
But how many? What percentage of the?
Well, they spent $14 billion on that package. They got $7 billion back.
Yeah. And I think MSD is still chasing a lot of that stuff still.
Yeah. But okay, kept the economy going. But sort of, there's always someone to blame rather than maybe we should look at how we do things. Is our wealth distribution fair?
Well, short answer is no.
No. No. And it's got worse. It's got far worse.
The gap is just like that.
And that's why I go back to the percentages, pay increases, and all that. It doesn't actually help our inequality issue at all.
If you give everyone a $20 pay increase, the $20 to the person on the bottom of the heap, $20 is a hang of a lot of money.
A doctor
or a lawyer is on $400,000 a year.
$20,
they'll go, it's only a cup of coffee.
Or
a person who needs that $20 spends it. It goes straight back into the economy.
Poorer people spend money.
They
don't save it.
Well, they haven't got a choice.
You look at the average poorer person in New Zealand. Have they got $1,000 in the bank?
No.
Have they got $500 in the bank?
No, probably not.
Have they got $300 in the bank?
Initially, when they get the benefit comes in. Or
well, that's what I mean.
But then that's it.
On benefit day, but by the end of the week...
It's gone, most of it's gone.
The end of the week, they're looking at the thing, can I afford to go and buy another packet of Wheat Beaks or a bottle of milk?
Mm. Or get the heat in during the winter.
Or getting the heat in the winter, which is another one.
Yeah.
You either freeze to death or you have your heater on.
Mm. Yeah. And those are the people you're talking about too, Brian, carry debt.
Well, that's... Mm.
And they're the ones that, as you say, Fred was talking about the jug.
Yeah.
They've got to buy the jug from the truck that comes round because it's the only place that'll give them credit, even though they're charging 30% interest on it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And giving you the never, never to pay for it.
Yeah, I know.
But it's easier to find $5 a week to pay the van man for the jug than, as you say, to go to the warehouse and buy one for
150. Yeah, yeah.
For $50 or
yeah.
Well, they've even got warehouse ones are even cheaper than that. I think they've got down to into about $20. But still, if you haven't got the $20, then you've got to buy the dearer one.
And if you need it, you need a tire for the car to get to work. You'll
petrol the car.
You'll get where you need to get it to get you keep your job or whatever.
Keep your job.
Yeah, or keep your house.
Or keep your house.
Yeah.
That's a fact of life for a lot of people that that we deal with.
Yeah.
We have people who have they've used their food entitlement over because it's 6 monthly, and they would probably use it within the first weeks, not so kind of think long term because their situation on the home front is dire.
Well,
and food going up in price anyway.
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
But let's face it, you've got to pay the landlord
you've got to pay
the mortgage, you've got to pay the power if you've got to pay all the fixed costs.
Yeah.
First, so what can you alter?
Food.
It's the only thing left at the end.
Hence, that's
food and clothing.
Yeah, clothing, and both those you can get from food bank type associations or charity shops, etc.
Yeah, but you can work your way down the list of what people will kind of sacrifice. Food is one. Clothing is another. Some certain medical costs will be another.
Well, they won't necessarily go to the doctor or the dentist.
Then they'll start shaving off the power payments. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nasty cycle, yeah.
And you don't go to the doctor when you should do, or there's no way of getting... There's nothing... Unless you go to the doctor, you can't get antibiotics if you've got the thing. So you actually... You get really sick and then suddenly you have to go to emergency services.
Which costs
the government
even more, us
taxpayers more money because they're overloaded.
Yeah.
Where they could have, if they had a cheaper health system.
Prevention rather than acute.
The old ambulance at the bottom
of the cliff is expensive, where if you can get to someone at the top of the cliff and suddenly you are feeling crook and you go, I've been crook for 3 days. Oh, I'll make an appointment for the doctor. Oh, he can't get in for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I know.
There's all those sorts of things. It's diabolical.
And it's impacting on the same group of people.
And then people, somebody who become from that sort of wannabe class into that situation too.
Oh, yeah. They can do.
Yeah, very easy. Yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason. Yeah.
What else you got, Mick? Something cheerful.
Cheer.
Yeah.
Something
cheer
us up from our melancholy.
Well, I'm not sure about cheer, but they just had a by-election in Caerphilly in Wales.
Oh, what happened? What was the result?
Plaid Cymru took the result, closely followed by Reform.
Plaid Cymru won.
Plaid Cymru won by just over 18,000. Reform got something like 15,000, roughly, and Labour got trounced.
Yeah.
Was it a Labour...
It was a Labour seat.
From 1922. Yeah. And Labour used to control the Welsh Parliament until the devolution happened. And, so Labour got a severe thrashing.
That's.
So this Plaid
Cymru.
That's the Welsh National Party.
Welsh Nationalists.
Have you got Welsh in you?
No.
No, you've just... Well,
French.
You've just picked it up.
French is enough for me.
Yeah. Okay, so what are they... What sort of party is it? Is it just a national... Labour sort of party? Or is it a left-wing, right-wing, middle of the road? Independence?
Well, national.
They want
a Welsh sort of party.
Welsh national party. They want more, say, more autonomy in the government.
Like the CNP.
Okay. And they want a better deal than they're getting from Westminster at the moment. They feel they're being given a hard time.
Yeah.
And traditionally, Westminster has kind of trashed or belittled the Scottish Parliament and the Welsh Parliament. Yeah. So it's a real wake-up call for Starmer.
Yeah, but okay.
But I don't think anything's going to happen because he seems to be locked into this... whatever he's doing, and
how many years has he got left to go?
He's got another
two or three,
three and a half years to go. This is why sometimes a 5-year term is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they're first past the post, don't they? So they don't, there's no proportional voting.
No.
which then makes it all sorts of complex as for elections.
So Labor are going to have to do some real serious thing. And now she, and not Angela Rayner, Rachel Reeves now, it's got a budget coming up.
Yeah.
And they're worried about if there's any spare cash.
I suppose they're blaming the poor for that as well. Oh, migrants, poor and migrants.
Yeah, that's a bit of a
blame somebody.
But at the same time, they've increased military spending.
Oh, we've heard that one before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, this is insane.
Have they bought a tax?
Well, no money for vulnerable people, no money for heating allowance for elderly in the winter. But, oh, we've got money. No problem in finding money for tanks and missiles.
Oh, we're
talking about upgrading the Trident system. It's got an estimated cost of $100 billion.
Jesus.
What?
Jeez.
Worldwide, I think it's the military spending has gone up to something like 3.4 trillion.
Who's threatening who? Like,
it's
like
a sales pitch. The people selling it.
But the people on both sides
are
probably sister companies anyway.
Of course. They're on both sides.
They're on both. Yeah. So the more you buy, the more I got to up.
And the family. I bet you there'll be families there that are
on both sides.
They're dealing with both sides. And then when it's all over, we've got construction companies. Oh, we can help you out there.
Do the
task goes on and on and on.
And we've been played.
Yeah. But people don't seem to see it.
Has China ever actually threatened us? No. They just want to trade, right? So there's no. How many countries has China invaded? Vietnam, they had a border scrap.
Spat with India.
India back in the 70s.
Yeah, spat with Russia
they had some
spats on the Russian border. But
how much war has America been involved in? When I say America, and it's Western sycophants, you know, as well. Everywhere.
You lose count.
Yeah, I know.
So Starmer's going to do some serious thinking, but I think he's hopeless. He's even worse than Boris Johnson, that's saying something.
But the Conservative Party's not doing very well over there.
No, or Kimmy Badenoch.
So reformers picked up.
Reform is picking up an awful lot of votes.
Yeah. How did the Greens do?
They trailed behind, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Stumps just seems to career from one mishap to another.
He did, didn't he? Because he got stuck in that row over Maccabi, Tel Aviv fans.
Yeah.
And
He
said that they should be allowed to be there.
Did he get that instruction from his wife or from where?
Well, he may have got that instruction from the same
person saying that Russia shouldn't go to these games.
Yeah, same person. Yeah,
but double standards.
And meanwhile, in Israel, they've cancelled a match between Maccabi and another club because they're too violent, so afraid of violence.
Yeah.
And then the Brits get it. They cancelled it. That's not fair. They were known troublemakers. Look what happened in Amsterdam.
They make Millwall football team supporters used to be notorious for make them look like a party of kindergarten kids.
Maybe Maccabi Tel Aviv should play Millwall then. Yeah. See what happens then.
Yeah, they'd be brave to go to a lot of places now. And they were going to go to Birmingham, which got a large migrant population as well. Yeah. That would have been, no wonder the cops said, no, we don't want it, we're not having it.
No.
It could have been awful, you know?
Man, serious trouble.
Yeah.
And he stuck his oar into that one, But he had his supporters. Badenoch was one of them.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Terrible woman.
Yeah.
Amazing if she'll last to be the leader of the
Conservatives. Talk about, did you see that Japan's got their first female Prime Minister?
I saw that. And guess what? Guess who her idol
is? The downside is that she's an ardent admirer of Margaret Thatcher.
Exactly. That's her role model, is Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. And so she's a real Conservative, you know?
Like a number of them are over there. Yeah.
Well, they are.
I mean, she's done well with me because the government in Japan has been, male dominated, so on that respect she's done well to claw up. But when I thought, well, that's good, you know, I found out she's a Margaret Thatcher admirer, I thought, what?
But
actually, I've got a slightly positive, what I want to give accolades to is the Irish president, what's his name? I just had it and it's gone out of my head. Well, anyway, he's had to retire.
Oh, right.
And he looks like a leprechaun. No offence to things.
No offence to leprechauns.
Yeah. No offence to leprechauns, but he's very short
and
he talks like a leprechaun.
I know, you mean. Sorry, his
term's up. He's retiring. But he's been president for 14 years, and he's been what I would call a marvellous ambassador for social justice and fairness.
And he's been pushing the Palestine thing too.
Well, and he's been pushed lots of decency, what you call human decency things. But they get to vote. The Irish get to vote on their president. It's not like a club deal between the politicians. The public get to vote on it.
Good. So the replacement is...
Because Mary Robinson had that role, didn't she?
And there's a Tory running for... and another sort of quite left-wing woman who's the favourite, Lady Connolly. I'm just trying to think of that guy's name. I had a little tip. I thought, I'll remember that, because he just looks like a leprechaun. He could be. But he did a good job, so...
He did a good job.
What do you expect of a president?
Going back to that by-election, Mick, Cam Philly, whereabouts in Wales is that?
That may kind of make us
understand why the Nationalist Party won it.
It's over towards the west, I think. I'm sure it is.
Probably that may answer the question why the Nationalists won it.
Well, see, even Tories got trounced as well.
Oh, yeah, well, they're probably nobody's favourite of the month, aren't they?
Deserved it. I'm just trying to remember my geography. I think it's towards the west.
Yeah, I'll look it up later. But
southwest, I think it's all right.
Yeah, because if it was something like the in that sort of like that Cardiff area, that southern area may not have gone so easily to them. Yeah.
So maybe the cheesemakers will inherit the earth.
Yes, they did. Stilton and all that.
Yeah. And the other thing that caught me out, how are we doing for time?
We'll go about a couple of minutes, won't we?
Well. This came up in the paper. This is the having to go to party. Marty Coley failed to meet parliamentary transparency. This is about property that she owns and hadn't declared.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Luxon, Jerry Brownlee, Aisha Verrill, Mark Patterson and Damien Pratt all had to provide statements to the Herald about undeclared properties in September, but they've rectified their... But they're really having to go... This is like a two-page article. And really go at Debbie Nabriwa Packer.
But they were also going to go at Te Pāti Māori over the burning of that bill over the and the hypocrite that occupies the speaker's chair went on like a stuck record. But where was he, or where was his commentary when Seymour did a similar stunt, whatever it was, that he was on, the Land Rover, where was the condemnation of that?
It's a
double standards thing again.
Yeah,
she may not have declared it. So what?
It was some
confusion. She thought it. She wasn't totally responsible for the property, so it was some sort of. It could have been a genuine mistake.
Well, there's many Māori have bits and pieces of interest in land. They don't actually, it's like you're talking about family land up north.
So her situation wasn't clarified until later on.
But she mightn't have even known that she owned. It's just that a journalist has gone through everything. Oh, no, she owns a bit of land over there in Tahi.
She hasn't mentioned it.
Well, she mightn't even know. It's ancestral land. She mightn't even know that she owned a bit of Tahi, unless you're quite, of course, you get tarred with the brush
unless you're very familiar with how Maori ownership of land and the records of the Maori Land Court, then you probably don't know that you own it.
Well, you might know it's a bit of family land, but it's far out.
Do I have a quarter or a third or an eighth interest in it?
It probably doesn't, if it's not going to be sold or anything, hopefully it's not. There's no financial interest in it.
Sorry, but we're out of here, we're running out of time.
Thank you, Brian, for coming down.
And you'll catch us next week.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you very much.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.